The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The disciples approached him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look but do not see, and hear but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You shall indeed hear but not understand. You shall indeed look but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no roots and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord. Some of you may be familiar with the name Maya Angelou. Maya Angelou is a relatively famous contemporary American poet, and she served as the poet laureate of our country in the 1990s. I've never heard her deliver any of her poetry in person, but any time that I've had a chance to read her poetry on television, I've always been very struck with the very measured way in which she speaks. It's as if every word is weighted, is calculated, and carefully crafted. But then again, I suppose that's the work of poets, to use words well. A few years ago, I was watching a clip about Maya Angelou and was struck by a story about her when she was 7 years old, just a young girl. Maya had the tragic experience of being an eyewitness to a murder. And during the trial that followed, she was the star witness of the defense, who believed that the police had accused the wrong man of the crime. They were about to send the wrong man to jail. However, opposing this defense attorney was a very crafty prosecuting attorney from the state. He was able to twist Maya's words to make his case, and because of what she said and the way the prosecutor twisted her words, the wrong man actually did end up going to jail for life. Maya was so traumatized by what had happened and was so overwhelmed by the power of her words that she barely spoke another word for the next 6 years of her life.
She says that during this time, she learned how to measure each word carefully and speak accurately because she knew well how important words can be. Her words, even though unintended, sent a man, the wrong man, to jail. It may be the reason, of course, why Angelou is such an acclaimed poet. She knows what words can convey. Our readings today are all about the power of the word. In this case, the word is the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, and splendor of the Father. The idea of the power of the word is found all over the Old Testament. Recall in Genesis that it is God's word that begins the project of creation. God says, "Fiat lux, let there be light," and there was light. And the rest of the creation story unfolds from there. And in our first reading, if you were paying attention, Isaiah likens the word of God to a seed sown by the farmer that bears fruit and achieves the end for which it was intended. Of course, the motif of the power of the word of God is a central piece of our gospel this morning. In some translations of this scripture passage, the passage heading often says that this is called the parable of the sower, which means that the emphasis of the parable is on the person of Jesus, who's the sower of the seed. He is, in fact, the Word. However, interestingly, I've seen other translations of this passage where the heading does not say the parable of the sower. The heading actually reads the parable of the four soils. It's interesting. Focus isn't on the sower or the seed. The four soils are actually a direct reference to all of us, who are different kinds of soils described in the parable. Now recall that there are four types of soil in the parable, and each of us fit into the different categories. And I would suggest that none of us are strictly one kind of soil. I would say we're more like combination platters. It kind of depends. We have areas in our lives where we are like the deep, rich, and hearty soil. But unfortunately, we can all admit, if we're honest, that we also have areas in our lives where the word cannot take root and bear fruit. It just doesn't. The challenge is to identify those areas of our lives which are not really receptive to God's converting word, and then cooperate with His grace so as to come to deeper conversion and ultimately friendship with Him. Now, this self-realization requires the virtue of humility, which interestingly is taken from the Latin word humus, which means dirt or earth. It's why in English we have an idiomatic expression, humble people are down to earth. Earth in Latin, dirt, is humus, the root of humility. So let us review. Jesus says there are four types of soil. The first three are rather problematic. The fourth is good. So let's consider how the first three types of soil play themselves out in our daily lives. Maybe I'm describing you. Maybe I'm describing myself. Maybe it's our lack of desire to let go of grudges or other forms of anger. Maybe it's our unwillingness to root out those things in our life that lead us to sins with others or ourselves. Maybe it's our pride, our attachment to our opinion or our gifts or our worldview, or an attachment to our talents or material possessions, in fact, which hand over heart is really, if we were pressed, really the place where we find our real security and not in the Lord. Maybe it's our lack of desire to pray or to witness to the faith when it is attacked in the workplace or among peers. Maybe it's our lack of self-mastery when it comes to gossip and backbiting. Maybe it's that mythical special deal that we've worked out with God, which affords us the false luxury of picking and choosing the teachings of the church which are convenient or fit our lifestyle, and discarding the difficult ones, areas where we don't think the church has the authority to speak about. This is especially true in our age in the area of sexual morality. Maybe it's just our plain lukewarmness And really, genuine belief in the Eucharist, or lack of it, that causes us to relegate Catholicism, our Catholicism, to just merely an hour on Sundays, instead of engaging in a serious life of prayer daily. Maybe it's an unwillingness to read the Word of God in the Scriptures, to really know our faith so that we can love our faith well beyond an eighth grade level, which is the mean, at best, in the West. It's that unwillingness, perhaps, to confess frequently because, well, we've convinced ourselves secretly that, compared to others, we're not that bad. Maybe it's because we have a political faith. It's a faith where one's political ideology precedes religious faith, and where one's faith is used to baptize a political vision or agenda. In praxis, for them, this person, the Catholic faith becomes the Republican or the Democratic Party of prayer. That is what the Catholic faith means to them. Their political ideology baptized by Catholicism. And instead of our faith informing our politics, we have it backwards. Whatever form our bad soils take, one thing is clear. Without rich soil, the seed cannot endure. And without seed, there is no fruit. And when there is no fruit, we can lose hope. We should then feel a sense of urgency to get our gardens in order so as to yield the rich fruit of virtue. Lastly, as I mentioned earlier, the notion of the power of God's word was very familiar to the Jews, starting in Genesis. They were and are people of the word. The uniqueness of Christianity, its outstanding excellence, is that the pursuit of God became not so much a pursuit of the word or the law or the prophets for the Jews, but actually that word became a person, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. We refer to him in Greek as the Logos, which is the Greek word meaning word or reason or logic. Jesus is the inner logic of the Father. Jesus is the inner logic of logic. Try that for 10:45 in the morning on a Sunday. The genius of Catholicism is that the Word is not only a person, but also, because of our sacramental theology, a sacrament, the Eucharist, the very body and blood, soul and divinity of God, who is made really present by the words of a priest, and the very person who feeds us with not only the Scripture, but with his very self, the sacrament of the Eucharist. To close, we should recall the responsorial psalm, which expresses the desire that each of us should have in becoming good soil for the seed, which is the Word of God. May we join the psalmist in the confidence that indeed the seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest, a harvest of true faith, firm hope, and a lively charity, so that we may accept the Word of God in our life and bear much fruit. And like the Blessed Virgin Mary, who accepted the Word of God into her life in such a unique way, so as to become the first tabernacle of the Lord, may each of us be truly receptive to God's plan for each of us, made present in the Word and made alive in the Eucharist. May we become rich soil for the sower, who is the Lord, so that we bear fruit worthy of the harvest the Father seeks to reap in all of us. May Jesus Christ be praised both now and forever. Amen.